Welcome to PriestingAudio.com. If you're encouraged and strengthened by this message today, be sure to tell someone who this message may bless about PriestingAudio.com. Or simply share this message by copying it to a CD and giving it to them so they can listen to it at their own leisure. It is always our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you. May it be a source of strength and help for the struggle you may be facing today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this one who may be listening to this message. Let your word be a light unto their pathway as they go through their day and the week ahead. Bless them, Father, with all spiritual blessing is my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Now we take you to the service already in progress. God bless you.
All right. Now what I am doing today is exposition on the John, the first chapter. And it was the paper that I presented at the symposium. And naturally, I won't have time to just reading it as fast as I could. It took me 45 minutes. So I've got enough material here that we won't be able to cover it all. And as much as I don't want to read it to you, I want to rather teach it to you. But now, I'm sorry, this is one thing that I could have passed out to you. However, you can see that it's a pretty thick paper. But it is to be in print. But the hall told me that they are printing the entire symposium. It came out about that thick. And it's in the process. All they're waiting for now is, I think, maybe a foreword being written by Brother whoever, Williams. And so I'll get into the Gospel of John. And what this intends to be is a commentary upon the Greek text of John 1. My estimation, it's a good study of the fact that there is one God, and perhaps it will come out that way to you. I state that John posits a harmonious conclusion to the synoptics. The synoptics, syn means to gather, optics, seen together. And that is, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not one of the synoptics. These three are seen together, covering pretty well the same thing. John doesn't. Luke said, I want to write all that Jesus both began to do and teach. John said, if that were done, the whole world couldn't contain the books. He stated that it was a different purpose that he was writing, and that was that, you may believe that he is the Son of God, and in believing that you might have eternal life. And so, if I may have you look at it, Matthew, as synoptic as I said yesterday, presents him as the king of the kingdom. Mark presents him as the Son of God. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. And John presents him as the God-man. John doesn't go back. In fact, he only has 8 miracles. I've preached on that before as the octave of miracles. Octave is so many steps up on the piano, and then you hit what you started out with again. And those miracles are in line perfectly with the order of creation. If you will compare the miracles of John with Genesis, you will see that it is in line perfectly with creation. But he passes up Bethlehem's manger. He passes up many things in order to be able to set forth Jesus Christ in the proper perspective. Now, he starts out with the beginning. He goes all the way back to the beginning, and he deals with creation. It's unique that when he writes his epistle, he begins once again with the creation. But there, it's different. Here today, and And on the reply at the symposium, you present a paper, two people respond to you and criticize and offer critique on your paper. And one of the critiques was this statement that I made, that John here presents this as a cold science lesson. And by that I don't mean unreligious. That was what they took. No, in comparison to what he said in the first John, it seems to be a cold science lesson. And for here he talks about the concept of creation and so on, but in First John he says we've had a hold of it with our hands and so on. Now, in arche hen hologos, kahologos hen prostan theon, kai theos hen hologos. In the beginning was the Word, a concept. And the concept was with God, and it was God. Now I'm going to have to trade this around just a little bit. Several key words that are in John that I would like for you to get. And one of them is logos. And it is concept, it is account, it is endless, it is speech. I think there are 15 different headings, and how many subheadings I don't know, that you can find for the word logos. But it is an attitude, the logos is an idea, a concept coupled with expression. In the beginning, there was concept. And I have the statement here by a very great scholar that says, any translation that makes anything out of logos other than concept, reason, speech, expression, is a bad translation. And then proceeds to say that it has reference to the hypostatic logos, which is a second rational second person of the Trinity. So this is an example of something that's gained through translation and lost in interpretation. One thing that you have to mind when you're reading these books, and I've got a list, a small list of some books that people have asked me about. But once again, remember, you're reading books, and people will invariably set forth their theology. And that's all right if they will differentiate between their translation and their interpretation. I don't mind a man interpreting all he wants to, but when he starts trying to make that the way it's translated, then that's something different altogether. But it happens. And of course, I'm talking to preachers here today, and you're used to reading books, and you're used to seeing them say some good things and just blow it to high heavens with some wild expression. In this thing that I've given here, I said, how in the world can somebody say that logos, anything other than speech, idea, concept, is a bad translation, and they call it a second person? Whence comes this second person? Fine person in the scripture relative to God. Somebody said Hebrews. But it is not. The word there is hypostasis, where it says he is the impressed character. He is the impressed character. The word is taken like you take a ring and make a stamp out of it like they did then. Jesus Christ is the impressed character of his hypostasis, which is substratum or substance. And substance is a better word to explain what God was. than the word person. Person, says the dictionary, is a human being. God is not a person. Now, all the preachers, the Carmelites, what have you, they will say that person is this. It is intellect, volition, and emotion. Well, that's stupid. That's just hanging out in space. Intellect, volition, and emotion just hanging out in space without any identification. You got to have it in a body. It's got to have a body, a human body. Ask anybody on the street, what's a person? That's a human being. God's not a human being. He is a divine being. He is an invisible spirit. Thank God, as to essence, which became flesh. So, logos, in times past, in the philosophers, was first used, as far as we can find, by Heraclitus in 560 B.C. You may want to make a note of that. In 560 B.C., Heraclitus used the word logos, and he made it the agent which keeps the cosmos. Cosmos is the word translated world in your Bible. Student word, word gaze is earth, gaze. But cosmos is order and arrangement. But he said that's what keeps it in order and arrangement is the logos. To him, the thoughts of God were powerful enough. The concept of God, the reason of God, was powerful enough to maintain order and reason in all of this arrangement. Now, here was his reasoning. He said, everything is in a changing state of flux. If you step twice into the same river, it is a different river the second time you step into it, because the river moves on and you are stepping into a different river. If then Heraclitus, a philosopher, 560 B.C., says there is constant state of flux and change, what keeps this world from and universe from being chaos? He said it is the logos of God. Now that idea of in the beginning was the logos, that was picked up by philosophers on down through time. Different ones who applied themselves to that kind of thinking. I think that perhaps it was Philo who was the most prominent feature and gave the logos as the personified word of God. That's called the hypostatic logos. But most of them follow through that it was just the concept of God. The reasoning, here it is, reasoning, the mental faculty, thinking, meditating, reasoning, calculation, once so in the phrase, ho logos ta theo. So when you have the word logos, it is simply the concept of God. But, as I said, Heraclitus, along with other philosophers, saw that logos as the controlling element of the universe. John picked that up and said, in the beginning was logos, concept. That's what was in the very start. If you ask me what was in the very beginning of time, and if I had time, I would deal with you today, and I would love it so much if I had another session to give you what we would call systematic theology. And that is, go right down through time with a bit of each thing and give you the entire concept. You can begin, of course, with angelology, demonology, hermetology, pneumatology, soteriology, on and on. If we had time, I would give you each one of these, a bit of each one of these, and let you see how it fits into the program of God. But I'm simply saying this. What did God make first? He made a throne. God made a throne. Let's go back, way back into time, if you will. Let's go way back. Back before there was a man, before there was a universe, as we know it, before there was an atom, before there was a man, when there was nothing but God. Now, when you go that far back, anything else other than one God is an absurdity. Amen? When you go that far back, what did he make first? First thing he made was a throne. This is all Bible. This is the way it would go through in systematic theology. First thing was a throne, which is a central dwelling place. Next thing they made was angels to worship him. One of those angels, his name was Lucifer, which means the shining one. And we are told by Isaiah, by Ezekiel, that he was so beautiful. He was called the angel that covereth, the original Hebrew means says, the angel in charge. He was over everything. Lucifer was the angel in charge. And he was beautiful, and it names all the different stones that he resembled. Those different stones, Lucifer, and it says, your beauty has corrupted you. Because you are so beautiful, it has corrupted you, your pride lifted up, and so on. So in that beginning, there was concept, God fitting things into that concept. Now this concept was with God. I'll write it in Greek, pros, and it's simply for. Alright? The word is simply toward or to. Now, I think Mr. Beisner and different ones that you're reading now, in fact, there's another book written before Beisner wrote God in Three Persons. It was written by Brumbeck. I think he tried to copy that. But he also says that pros means face to face. And they say because it means face to face, that means it's having reference to persons. How silly can you get? You take a definition. Now, let me tell you where the concept of face to face definition of pros came from. A.T. Robertson began to set out the etymological background of the word pros. That means how a word got to be. And he says that it is from the word pro, or pati, or from the Sanskrit prati, and these all have to do with facing or toward, or to. And then he says it comes out rather well in the English, face-to-face. Well, that's picked up on by these people, and they say face-to-face. So that's got to be God, two persons looking face-to-face. Well, literally anything, animate or inanimate, can be face-to-face. I can turn a book looking face-to-face with another one. Pillars can be face-to-face. Buildings can be face-to-face. That doesn't mean I have, and I must ascribe a certain quality to something because I use the definition of face-to-face. When I say the word, the logos, the concept was with God, it doesn't mean that there was a second person that was facing God. It simply means that that word was present and was actually before him or with him. And the translators did all right. And it's translated in other places throughout the New Testament as two. Most of the time, pros with the accusative is two. But a lot of times it is with or accompanying. It does not qualify the essence of the nominatives. At all. It doesn't do that. It simply lets you know that it was with. My word is with me. My word is before me. My word, the reason it is before, let me give it to you this way. What kind of jargon would wind up if your word was not pro? If your concept was not pro or before? what would happen if I got up this morning and said, I am going to think last, I'm going to have concept last, and I'm going to speak first. You know? I'm going to go out and build me a doghouse, all right? What? How are you going to build it? I'm not going to even think about it. I am just going to nail and hammer and saw, and then I'll think last. Now, this is why you have the word pros. Why not have the word soon, which is with? Why not have the word meta, which is with? He could use any one of this, one of these, because concept has got to be before. It's got to be before. If I just went out and you never heard this before and you'll never hear it again, because this is absolutely, and somebody says there's nothing original. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's true. It sounds braggadocious. I don't intend to, but I'm trying to shock you to let you know that this is the kind of thing that I want to set forth. How and why do they use the word pros or before, to, in front of, toward? Why did John use that when he had the proposition of his concept with him? And then some idiot jumps up and says, because the definition face-to-face is used, it means a person. That's crazy. I'm telling you, I'll go out to build a doghouse, and I have no idea, no concept in mind. I don't know how big it's going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. All I'm going to start nailing, I'm going to hammer, and the next thing you know, it'd be like I was when I was a kid. I used to do that when I was a kid. My dad furnished me a bunch of nails and some boards and a saw and a hammer, and it was just a stack of boards on top of one another at all different kind of angles, just nailed together, and there's a waste. Before there is any creation, before there is anything, there's concept. That's why the word is used that comes from this background, before, is because that thought was with God, but it was not as located, as temporal, as a time frame. It was not standing beside of Him. It was not behind Him, but the concept preceded Him. It was in front of Him. He kept it before Him, because thought is essential in preceding creation of any kind. Say, praise the Lord. Does that make it simple? When anybody uses the word and says pros means face to face, tell them this one thing. It does not say, try to write it in English. It's hard to think for me to think. It's hard for me to try to think in Greek and write in English. Prosopon is face. What the Trinitarians would like for it to say is one person was face to face with another person. But it doesn't come near saying that. It says that concept was before God. It was in front of Him or facing or to Him. It preceded, it looked at Him, it was before Him, so that He may logically and reasonably proceed upon the order of all time and creation with what He intended to do. Oh, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. When anybody asks you for a definition of pros, give them that. Why? Remember the word here. This is soon. I'll write it in English. This is soon, which means with. This is written the same way. Once again. All right. The word is soon, and this word is meta. Two words that could have been used if he'd said with, but he used neither one of them. He used the word. I'll keep expressing it where you won't lose it, and that is he used pro, pros, pro. You know pro is before. I can't even think of an example now of the word pro, but you see it all the time as a part of another word. Do you ever go blank? You just lose it all of a sudden? Prefix! Hello! Isn't that a wonderful word? But you see it all the time. And you understand what the word pro is. And it is before. You don't think last. You think first. It's with you and it's before you. It is to you. Now, All right, here is where they hang their hat. Jaeger, Beisner, Martin, Brumbeck, all of them. And the word was hang with, or was God. The word was God, I'm trying to say. The word hang, and it would actually be aim. Simply that, the word was. Now, this is a past, or this is an imperfect. Imperfect. Now, in Greek, the verb tells you not only time of action, but kind of action. Now, this kind of action here is a continuing action of the past. It is without reference to point of origination or point of conclusion. It is simply a linear action of the past. He continued being with, or Logos continued being with. And so they say, oh, here is the eternal Son, because it uses an imperfect, which means he was always with God. He, and that putting Logos as a person, mind you. All right? And this is the state. Don't ever forget this. This is where you're coming. This is what you're going to meet. This is the way they're translating that. You can translate it correctly if you take this, and I don't have time to go into the terms, and aggressive, but he was always, or it was always with God. There's only one problem. The same word is used down in the 10th verse, where it says he was in the world. The same word was he was in the world. Now, that also is an imperfect. Here's what I pose to them. This is what I asked in the symposium. If ain is imperfect and you take it to mean always has been with, then it says that he has always been in the world as Son, not as Word. You may cut that unit up a little bit, I believe. Are you warming up? Are you warming up? All right, set it a little bit. I ask the question, are we ready to say that he has always been in the world? Not as long as now. We're talking about that he was in the world. We know what was rejected. It's talking about, but the world rejected him. They didn't reject Logos. They rejected the Son, the flesh. They said, oh, no. Now, Jaeger, Randolph Jaeger in the Renaissance New Testament, he says that this is different than it was back up there. I am not ready for any dude that steps up to take the same verb written in the same tense and give to it a different meaning. At your whim and your discretion, you can say back up there it was an imperfect that qualifies always has been, but when it gets down here where he was in the world, that it means he has always been in the world, and he knows good and well. That's not sense. We know there was a time, and there was a day in which he was made. This day have I begotten thee. The Son was made of a woman, made of the law. He was not always in the world. But you see how they play with it? Now, you want to, there's a lot of people ask me, well, now, Brother Trace, can't we pick up their Greek, and it sounds right, too. Well, that's the way English is. It sounds right, and somebody says it, unless you get to examine it. But men have ideas, they have theologies, they have beliefs. And here is a man willing, whether it's an oversight, I doubt it. How can you be a scholar, a grammarian of the Greek language, and know aim as an imperfect, and give it a time limitation unending in reference to Logos, but when it comes to Huion, the Son, you say it is not always that he was not always in the world that has reference. You know what you're doing? You're reading it, you're getting a sense out of it, and then you're interpreting it and translating it as you get the sense out of it. That's backwards. If you're a translator, translate it.
and then you can interpret it. But don't do that first. It just doesn't work out. How many understand what I'm talking about, the word and the verbane there? He was in the world. Yes, he is always. But it still doesn't bother me. The fact that the Logos was always there doesn't bother me, because it doesn't say a person was with God anyway. It says concept was with God. And my word is with me. And was it Mr. McGee that says, if you see two of us standing here, you're too drunk to be here? All right. Let's go a little farther. Now, he was in the world. Concept was with God, and all things became through him. Now, here is a word that becomes important. Again, the word is. Can you make these scribbles like I make them? It'll save me time. All right. All things became through him. That's an O. Now that means, that word means genomai. It is a genito here. It is genomai. It means become, go from one state to another, a change. It is implied by the word genomai. All things came to be, changed from one something to another. If you would like, after class, I'll write this in English for you. It's hard for me to do that, stand up here now. But you change from one thing to another. The same word is said when all things came to be through him or were made by him. It means they all were changed to be. All things were changed from nothing to something through him. Then it goes on later, and it says the word became flesh. The same word. The word became flesh. That one word will wipe out an eternal son. Because the word genomai means it came from one state to another state. It was changed from one thing to something else. The same thing that was all things came to be. We don't believe always existed sun, moon, and stars. We don't believe that trees, mountains, and lakes, and creatures, and bugs, and molecules were always here. Science doesn't even believe that. They have changed their belief now to the Big Bang Theory, you know. And I read where one scientist said, it's a disconcerting thing. You struggle for years to get to the top of the mountain, and when you get on top of the mountain, you find a preacher sitting up there. He's already beat you. We've been saying that all along, that it didn't happen slowly through millions of years. There was, it all, pow, it came. And I show you the strength of that, how that actually happened that quick with this verse. Oh, this is a science lesson. A science lesson that we've got today. John gives it here as a science lesson, but later on in John 1 or 1 John, he gives it in a little different aspect. But nothing has always been. It was changed. So also, the word eginato, it became flesh. It went from something to something else. I say he did not always exist as son. He existed as concept. So did you. So did you and I. Amen? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I'll tell you what, there's no ignorance in omniscience. When you talk about a God, an omniscience, he knew all things from the beginning. You and I have a little trouble with that. Because we're so finite, we're so confined, we've got to live every day at a time. But he who is God forever, it was no problem looking down through time, seeing everything in its proper order, and speaking of it as though it were, and it were not yet. There's no problem to God, who is an eternal being. What he saw, and that concept that he had, it was simply the carrying out of the knowledge of God that he is. All knowledge. There is nothing that is hidden. There is no ignorance and omniscience. There is no no trouble with that. Sometime him seeing that later changed, not in from our concept, but changed into a fleshly individual. So all things were made through him, or became through him. And now, the first thing that he was, the first thing before God was ever flesh, let me show you what he was. In him was Zoe. That you get the word zoology. I'm getting down there. Zoology. You get it from that. That's life. Zoology, or Zoe, is life. And that word took on a different meaning when Jesus used it. It was a lower word for the word bios, for what you get biology. And that word took on a different meaning when Jesus changed the importance of those two words. But Zoe was life. In him was Zoe. That means in him was life. All right. In the beginning was concept. That concept was with God before him, stayed before him all the time. It was God, actually. If you ask me in the beginning, what was God generally? It was more than anything else, concept. Oh, I don't have time. I'm in my mind is whirling right now. More than anything else, I don't need, before there's a star, moon, before there's an atom, before there's a bug, before there's a molecule, I don't need a Savior. I don't need a Calvary. I don't need a powerful, glorious, splendor light before there is anything. Before anything, I need concept. I need idea. So all of this can progress along the track of all of God's creation. I need idea. And it does me good to realize that God was Word. Or word or concept was God. That's what I need first. I don't need anything else. I need God to have concept and be concept. And he was that. Now, first of all, in him was Zoe, which was life. I had a debate one time between a Carmelite and a biology professor at Rice University. And they were discussing where life came from. And the professor says, it all was a bit of slime. It was all just a bit of, you know, it finally got it down to one cell. And that preacher, you know, was saying, well, I want to know where that came from. And all you got to do is just keep asking, where'd that come from? You know, first of all, was a monkey. Where'd that monkey came from? He crawled out without legs. He slithered out of the sea. Where did that slithering creature come from? All right, there was a bit of protoplasm that was floating around out there, jellyfish. Where'd that come from? All you got to do is stand back and ask, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Let him get it back until it's one tiny cell. And that's what he did. It all come down to one tiny cell. And then he asked the big question, where'd that come from? Because his life, he said, so you mean all life started with that one little cell? He said, yes. In everything out there, all life started with that one little cell. He said, where'd that come from? He said, that's as far as I can go. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what. If that was life, I want to know where it came from, because there is nothing that is inanimate that can produce the animate. There's nothing that's dead that can produce life. This pulpit will never produce another pulpit. It's dead. You can cut it up and you make it look different, but it'll never give birth to another pulpit. It'll never change of its own volition and finally grow legs and walk around as a living pulpit. It's dead. I don't know where the little cell come from. He said, I can't tell you. He said, that's where the preacher comes in. That's where I start in. He said, in him was the way. In him was life. Hallelujah to God. Was there a bug? That bug come from him. Was there a slithering, slimy creature that sprouted legs and arms? That thing came from him. Hallelujah to God. I don't have time to get on creation, but I'm on it in a hell. Amen. He says that thing came from God because in him was life. Now, What did that thing first become? I want to know. What was it God ever became first? What was it that man could see? What was visible? What happened first? The first thing was not flesh, not an eternal son. The first thing that God became was not eternal son, was not flesh. That did not happen till the 14th verse. He finally later became flesh. The same word, egenito, was used of him in flesh that was used of all things that were made, changed from one element. At first there was nothing, and out of that nothing, all things that were made were not made of things which do appear. Whew. Oh, that's a great God that can do that. But in him was life, and that life became what? It became photos. Photos, photographic is where you get that. Photos is a word. This is genitive of that. It is photos. In him was light or energy. Why am I saying that? And here's where we're really getting down into it. In him was life. The first thing God ever became that men could see, the first thing the concept ever was, you had God as concept. It was with him and it was him. I need that first. I need God to be concept first. I need him to be flesh later. I need him to be light later. I need him to be muscle later. I need him to be blood later. But right now I need him to be concept. First of all, then he became life or photos, energy. And listen to it. And that light blasted. The word is kata. Bane. Oh, kata bano. This is down. Pardon me, I'm getting the wrong word. I'm already back with it. Can I do it again? This is phaneroa. The word, the light blasted into the darkness. The word blasted into the darkness. Why? The word here is reveal. It is shine. Why do you use it such forth as brass? Because the word and the darkness, skopia, could not take it down. Down, take down. It could not seize it. And there is a wrestling. In all your lexicons, there is a wrestling effort that goes on. Here is nothing but blackness. All was blackness. There was concept. Concept was with God. And the first thing that thing was a piercing light that blasted into the darkness. Why do I say blasting? Because there was an effort on darkness to take it down, to try to wrestle it down, but it couldn't do it. There was a light that blasted darkness, and it could not take it down. That light is still shining. It's still blasting today, right out here. That's the light that lighteth every man that comes into this world. But John later, as I say, in a very personal manner, makes it the light of the gospel that we have. Any man walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. I want to go. Here is John in this first chapter talking about creation. What started it, how it was, the light blasted in the darkness before it became flesh. Now, that's a cool science lesson. But later on, after Pentecost, he writes back to the church, and he said, now, John, where do you want to start? I'm going to start the same place I started my gospel, that which is from the beginning. But this time it's not just a cold science lesson. He said, that which is from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, we have heard with our ears, and we have handled with our hands, hologos tau do. We have had a hold, thank God, of the Word. That word, when I first talked to you about it, was way out yonder in space, blasting and shining and wrestling against darkness. But now, thank God, I've had a hold of that concept. It was not a concept suspended in space, untouchable and unreachable. No, but it was a concept that I had a hold of it. I heard it. I saw it with my eyes. It is the word of life. Hallelujah to God. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. But he was not something that you could hold and hear and feel. Back then, he was concept. But now we've had a hold of it. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you know that thing became personal to us? No. God hasn't separated himself. Do you ever get the feeling like the man said that God is dead and he doesn't deal with man anymore? Not on your life. As much as that joy and that light and that concept that was back there, we finally had a hold of it one time, has no more forsaken us. He still is moving and walking with us, and we can still feel it today. Tell me what makes thousands of people all stand to their feet at once and praise God and jump up and down. It is the effect of that same power making itself felt and known upon it. A different program for a different reason. He is not creating light here. He is not coming as a human being to die on Calvary to give us salvation right now. He is in a different program, and that is impressing upon us the salvation that he provided. And he uses, I could preach here today, he uses every sense and mood that a man has. You can't be part of this universe and be separate and apart from that concept. It shoots you through like x-rays. Our satellites and programs are abusing my body. They're shooting those rays as they're here. We had an antenna, a receiver. We could pick it up right here today, and we see all over the world. But it's in me. Isn't it? You're part of it. You're part of that thing. You're part of everything. Then tell me, God uses every mood, every feeling you've got. Thank God to impress you to the salvation and to his omniscience and his omnipresence and the fact that he is deity over all, God blessed forever. Hallelujah to God. You're not a separate entity segregated upon an island. You are not an individual that is set as a fence post out in the field without feeling, without contact. No. You are part of a concept. You're part of the darkness and the battle that went on between light and darkness and the wrestling that went on. You're part of it. You feel it. You're swayed by it. You can't get out in a swift stream and stand up and not lean against it. If it's worth enough, you're part of it. You lean against it. And so you are in this world today. You're not standing in a docile, placid, dead, stagnant stream. Things are moving. Things are happening. The universe is changing. The earth is rumbling. The sky is changing. Haley came through with his comet and is going on and on and on. You're standing in a swift stream. You are affected. The only way you can do is lean against it. Like he as light leaned against the darkness, which would struggle, which would fight, which would stifle, which would break down. You lean against that and you fight against it. Oh, praise God. I tell you what's happening here today. I'm being saved here today. Hallelujah. I'm leaning against the stream. I am blasting into the darkness. I'm part of light. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. I am part of light. Sit down your leaves, hush your mouth, and dry up, and you won't be part of salvation. Thank God. He says, I'm the light of the world. Now you're the light of the world. What has that light always been doing? It has been blasting. What has darkness been doing? Trying to take it down. And so you can't sit still. You backslide. You either going forward or you're going backward. You've heard that before. Thank God. And what we're doing here today, getting up early, fighting your body, slapping it around. Get it. Amen. Lie down. Learn. Somebody said, I want to learn. Why do you want to learn? Because you're bracing against the stream. It's trying to make you dead, inanimate, where you cannot produce. But we are part of that producing element of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Aren't you glad you know him? Yes, he said that we felt it, we see it, we heard it. Thank God. That is the word of life. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm going to tell you something more about that light. Now, if you continue to walk in that light, as he is in the light, you're part of it. You're not separate part. You're just like that sun shining out there. You're part of that. Get with it. Amen. Glory to God. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, thank God there's something that happens between you and I. I look at you and I say, hey, you know, you just like, anyway. Hallelujah. You know what? You got a nose, you got face, you got blood, you got spirit, you got something. I can say, whoop, you feel whoop within your heart. We all have the same thing. Thank God we have fellowship one with another. The word is koine, sum koine. It means things common between us. That's what fellowship is. Things are common between us. We understand it, we feel it together. Glory to God. Things are common between us. And what happens then? Then the blood of Jesus Christ, which is an extra help. Hallelujah to God. It is extra help. It cleanses us from all sin. We need that. We need that. We need that. You were asking me here on the first or the second of the day, when is the blood applied? That is a hypothetical question. That is a theological question which has no background and has no reason, actually, except we are trying to place it within the tabernacle plan. That's all right to do that. But I'm going to tell you what. The word is continuous. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from sin. Because you didn't quit being a human being when he gave you the Holy Ghost. You have a heavenly gift and an earthen vessel. Praise God. And you don't quit being a human being. So I keep needing that holy blood to purify, transfuse this earthly blood that I've got. Amen. And until this is drained, and I am like him, flesh and bone, but no blood. Oh, I'm getting far out. Until I get like him, thank God, I'm going to need that pure blood transferred into my blood so that I can not only have fellowship with you, but I can have fellowship with him. I can be more like him. That's what I want to be. I want to be more like him. I mean, like he started out with. Hallelujah to God. I don't want to be like everything has become. Jesus said it was not so from the beginning. I want to be like what it was at the beginning. Hallelujah. He was power. He was life. He was light. And it was all glorious and all wonderful. That's what I want to be like. I know I want fellowship with you. I like you. But you're mud like me. We need help. Hallelujah to God. We've got to have that all power that's over us, infusing and transfusing, getting a hold of us. We've got to have that glory to God. And then the next thing you know, you wake up and you feel like, praise God, I feel good this morning. You don't even realize it, but you're getting holier. You're getting humbler. You're getting sweeter. You're getting more beautiful. You lose your hair, but you get more beautiful. I must tell you, that might get to be a question here. So, see, beautify the meek with salvation. Said you didn't, it didn't do much for you. You ought to see me before I got it. I've seen one of my favorite men that I learned prayer, if I learned prayer, from was about nearly 7 foot tall. Ugly, looked like Abraham Lincoln. But I challenge you to be in his presence and not feel like it's one of the most beautiful persons you've ever met in your life. You want to be around him. Why is it all your people want to be around you all the time? You know why? Your church? Why do they want to be around? I got people that would stay at my house. They live there. They live out there. They meet me every time I go out to the barn. I got them out there. I have to go out to the barn to feed the horses. I have to counsel people. Why? Because there's something about you that they want to be like. And that is because you're getting holier. You're getting holier. You're getting prettier. And you're getting a better nature all the time. I got to go. All right. Thank God. All right. Now I'm going to talk about the word son. Only begotten. Only begotten. J.W.? It's not working. Mono? Genaos. Alright? Only begotten. I first run upon this a long time ago in about second year Greek. That's translate John here. It was actually the first John. And I saw it was not monogenao, but it was monogenos, which means only kind. Only kind. If it was only begotten, It would have been Monogeno. I can back that up from the papyri. I can back it up from any lexicon that it is not only begotten. It is the only kind. Mono is only as you know, or alone. Mono. Genos is one from which you get genealogy. A kind, tribe, is the only kind. I translated it, he is the unique son. And they underlined it and said, very good, very good. And once again, I said, you believe that? And I said, if we're translates. I believe he's a unique son. He is not like any other son. As well as there was a difference in this world when there was an Adam put here, there was a difference when that apparition walked upon this earth. When I say John didn't seem like any other synoptics, but he saw him as God-man just barely touching this earth, I want you to see him right here. He called him the only kind of a son. He was God and man fused into one glorious being. Praise God. Any other man could say, here is my father, here is my mother. Not him. He said, my father is an invisible spirit. And when you see me, you see him. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.
The reason why you figured that out and they didn't is because they were blind, like they were trying to translate, they were trying to interpret.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you just look at it. That's we like to think we're pure, you know, and we'll wait and see who is. The day's coming, we'll find out who is, actually. But that's the truth. Well, Jaeger himself says, in reference to fighting some of that, he said the four Murphy's laws, because what they do, he said, first of all, have your ideas firmly in place and then find scripture to back them up. And number two, if the scriptures disagree with your idea, don't worry about it. Forget them. And then, right on now, the last one is find the English version in full and hope there are no Greek scholars in the audience. That's about the way it goes. But brother, I tell you, there never was another one like him. There never was another one. He walked upon this earth as a strange apparition that was as strange as it was from the beginning when light first pierced into darkness. Nothing was like that ever before, and nothing ever came into this world like that again. The devil batted his eyes three times every time he met him. He'd never seen anything like that. He'd never talked anything like that at all. He used a hypothetical if. The devil is not omniscient. He does not know everything. If you are the Son of God. Why do you use that if, devil? Don't you know? You're the angel in charge. Yeah, but you'll never be what he is. He said, I want to be. I want my throne to be above your throne. I want to be like the Most High. I will sit in the congregation on the north side of the place of authority. But you'll never be that. No. You'll never be that because that is one God Almighty. And like the fellow said, I wrote in the back of the book and we win. Hallelujah. Amen. But there was never another. If you are the Son of God, thank God. Oh, Jesus said to them, you're like your father, the devil. He said, and you don't know who you are, but I know who I am. You know the difference in us? You know why we can shout with a bunch of politicians sitting on the platform kind of like this? You know why? Because we know who we are. Hallelujah, God. We're not worried about it. We're still wondering who they are. The whole world is still wondering. Jesus said, you don't know who you are. Oh, I'm full this morning. This is the last day I'd like to get everything in 5 minutes, you know. But did you know that where it says that they believed on him, but he did not commit himself to them? It's the same word that tells. They believed on him, but he did not believe on them. Somebody must be doing something right around here. Because he's believing on us. He's sending his presence. It's not enough to say I believe in him. Thank God I've got to have him believing in me. Glory to God. All right. He is the unique son. I got one other area to cover, Generally, there's many, many more things I can't get through near with that, and I shouldn't keep saying that over to you, but let me get this. He came to his own, and his own received him not. You got two different words. Man was not the only thing that Christ came to. Man was not the only thing. All right, he came to his own. The word is I-D-I-O-S. First of all, he came to his I-D-I-A. He came to his idia and his idios would not receive him. Idia is neuter. Idios is masculine. It is never argued. Idios has reference to people or men, because it is masculine. But idia refers to things, because it's neuter. Or you can translate that he came to his own things, and his own men would not receive him. Did you know that he didn't just come to men, but he came as though it were to all of his creation? Thank God. Did you know that everything else was in sync with him? I read a book one time, and I don't know how they knew, but they said that Jesus had rapport with the animals. I can prove a little bit of that. I believe that birds, flowers, creation, he all had rapport with all of them. At least I know he got on one donkey that had never been ridden and didn't have a rodeo. I mean, that thing just went walking right down into town just as pretty as you please. And God, but he had rapport, because all things were his. I doubt not at all, my friend, that when he came into this world, that all of the molecules and all of the atoms that filled every creature and everything felt that same creative concept and logos that was in him to start with. And he came to his own things. Thank God. That's the only way he could step upon the prow of the boat and look out to the wind and to the waves. And you know what the original says? He says, "Be thou muzzled." Hallelujah. Like a dog. Stop your barking and stop your biting. Stop your raging and stop your foaming. Be muzzled. And it lay down at his feet like a dog. Hallelujah to God. They said, "What manner of man is this whom the winds and the waves obey him?" You know what it is? Some connection of him with everything around him. Hallelujah to God. That's why. Woo, that's why. On the cross, hallelujah to God, when he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and then he said, "Ask him to listen, it is finished." Brother, he was intricately connected with all of the elements, with all of the powers of the world. Concept was still in charge and still covering. That's why something began to happen to the old earth underneath him. It began to rock and rattle, and everybody began to look around. Hallelujah to God. The old sun began to move into eclipse. Praise God. Hallelujah. One man said, you gotta admit it. This is the Son of God right here. Hallelujah. Why? You can't touch him. You can't lay your hand on him without affecting everything here. Thank God he is connected with the entire. You know why? Because he was a concept that was standing right in the Son of God. That was a pattern for everything. And now you have got the architect with the pattern walking around. Hallelujah. And all of these things that were in connection with him, hallelujah. When you touch him, it moves. Hallelujah to God. When you say something to him, it affects him. Glory to God. When he saw a little, it moved. Hallelujah. When he says it's finished, the sun, which was eternal seemingly in the minds of men, began to shade dark. Oh, glory to God. He came to his own things. The only thing that rejected him was man. Excuse me just a moment. The only thing that rejected him was man. The creature that was in his likeness. The creature that had the power to do it. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else has prerogative. Nothing else has choice. The cows on a thousand, he'll praise him because they ain't got sense enough to do anything else but what he says you do. Everything he does is he said. The grasshopper eats because God says. Everything that, but man, the one that was that you don't know what you are today. Walking around, you're made in his image and in his likeness. You have a creative ability. Nothing else can say, I'm going to go out once again and build me a doghouse. Dog can't say, I tell you what, this gets sloppy around here. I'm going to have to clean up this bin. I'm going to have to build me a new doghouse. Dog can't do that. He got to live in it. He got to stay there till you do something about it. But you, how devious you are. You can say, I'd like to be a little better than this fellow over here. I'd like to have a little more in him. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to start impressing him and everybody around him. And you can bury your position. You can bury your standing. You can lift yourself up. It's like God you have within you. I do believe there is divinity in every man. Not that he is saved. That divinity blasted and not standing against the tide and the water goes down and becomes the most horrible beast of all. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, he said you're gods in as much as they. If I'm in the context right, I think that you'd be correct there. I believe that he knew what was in man. Yes. All right. All right. But man is so much like God. But I tell you what, you get that twisted. You take that creative ability. See, you got creative ability. You got forethought. You got foreknowledge. You can plan. Nothing else can. No other creature can plan. You can do it. You have logos. Don't you know what logos is? Because you got logos. Don't you know what it is? Can't you understand? Because you got it. You're the only thing that's got it. But I tell you what. You let the wrong force get a hold of it. And as wonderful as it is for good, it is that much power for bad. Amen. There's not a creature that can invent the sin that you can invent. Pardon me for being plain. Animals in the open without shame procreate or keep on multiplying. But man, someone that has a shame connected with everything he does is because he's without excuse. Woo! Let me tell you, it just hit me. Paul said, didn't the Jews know? Didn't he tell in Greek whether to expect a negative from the answer? Yes, they knew. What? Did not they hear? Yes, they heard. Somebody said, the poor pitiful Jew. He didn't know. He didn't hear. Paul said, yes, he heard. Then he quoted, the sound has gone from one end of heaven to the other. You know where he's quoting from? He's quoting from the Psalms. He said, the heavens declare the handiwork, the powers and the firmament, his works. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. The sound has gone from one end of heaven to the other. Because you are like God, you are so tied to the universe, you are without excuse. Amen. The grace, listen to it, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath, that is an heiress, appeared unto all men. What is it? Yeah, but they can't know. Yes, you can. Teaching us. This is what you know and because of what you are. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But the general just said like this, you take a bunch of ducks out there and a mallard will always be a mallard because of what he is. He knows it's there. You can't change it. You're the same way. You know more than you let on. Oh, I've got to quit. Glory to God. Amen. I've had a good time here today because I've gone through with a little bit of what he is. Man, well, the only thing that refused him, I want to be in sync with God. Hallelujah to God. No wonder Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a disappointing crew. You can look up at the sky. How did you ever learn that? You can look up at the sky and say it's going to be fair. It's going to be bad. But you ought to be able to look around you and tell the signs of the times. If you're really in sync with God, you can look around, you can feel everything happening. You know it's here. You know it's here. There are people in the world that are sinners that even know we're near the end. I have them tell me. It's here. It's happening. All right, Brother J.W.? Oh, yeah, he dwelt among us. If I'm thinking what you have in mind. Oh, the word is tabernacle. It's just a short stay. Thank God. He tabernacled and tented among us, all right? I'll go ahead. Give it to me, and I'll think Greek. Through him. What is dia? Dia, through him. It all happened through him. Through the Logos. All things were created. I won't take time for all. Go ahead. What do you have? Yeah.
Was there
appearance and manifestation of the Word before then? It would be hard, I imagine, for God to have a blueprint and a plan in mind all these years and maybe not sketch it out at times. Okay? But he was not made. He was made of a woman made under the law. You know, I can somebody say, hey, what you going to build? But what kind of house you going to build? Well, it's going to have a porch here, five porches, and then so on. I may sketch it out to you some way. But until I get the hammer and the nails and I actually do it, it's not made. It doesn't exist. It exists only in the mind. Ideologically, he said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee. How could God know something before it ever came into being? Because he's omniscient. He knows everything. The end from the beginning. But there's also prerogative with God. Won't take time for that. All right? Yeah, I'll touch some of the scriptures you have maybe about later. All right, brother? Yes, sir. I can't just touch on him. I have to hit him. I have to hit him hard. I just simply say this. You have the word that says being interpreted. Thank God for that. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Say thank God for the interpreters or translators. The word is actually translator. All right. The word Melchizedek was first translated. Here's a unique thing. It was first translated, Paul used as King of Righteousness. Then later, it changed to King of Peace. And Paul is saying that's what he is. First of all, he's King of Righteousness. Then later on, it changed to King of Peace. You can't be King of Peace first. You can't have peace first. You've got to have righteousness first, and then peace. Strange thing that he did with the Word. He was without genealogy. He was without a precedent as far as priesthood. He was without father or mother. That does not mean that even Jesus did not claim to be without a father. He said, my father. He identified with the father. Never with the mother, but always with the father. But without father and mother. And it's a big subject. But I personally believe that it is having reference to the priesthood. Unprecedented, unique, without anybody knowing how he got set up, how he was king and priest at the same time. All of that is just like Jesus Christ. And we can understand that. Now, the angel that wrestled with Joseph, there are many theophanies, or God in appearance. In fact, there are many of the, what's my word that you have to gargle? Anthropomorphisms. Huh. You got to gargle that one. Anthropomorphisms. God accommodates himself to our finite mind and thought. He does it. God doesn't give us a science lesson generally. He just accommodates himself to us. If God were to speak to us as he could speak to another God, but were there another God, you and I would be out in the dark. We wouldn't know when the conversation started and when it ended. Amen. But he accommodates. When he said the sun stood still, well, who have believed it moved? We know that we moved. Well, at that time, they believed that it moved. And God didn't give him a science lesson. Say, now look, you want the sun to stand still, but really the sun's not moving. It's the earth that you're on that's moving. And I'll give you the science lesson, then I'll stop there. He didn't do that. He just stopped the whole process, and they went ahead and said the sun stood still. Fine. That's fine. It don't hurt me. I know what happened. God just talked to me like he's a baby. You know how you talk to a baby, don't you? You know, one time Jesus, he said, a little while you shall see me, then a little while you will not see me, then in a little while you'll see me again. And he saw them talking when they all got here together. And he said, are you questioning? Because I said, a little while. He said, are you questioning that? That's fine. Well, you don't say that, kid. My kid, you say, how long before we get to Papa's memos? I said, I don't say 3 hours. They have no concept of 3 hours. They don't know what, they don't know what 5 hours is like. I say, just a little while. And it might be 8 hours from now, but just a little while. You always got to keep saying, you got to talk to them like kids, you know. You got time to take a nap, wake up, take another nap, wake up, we'll be there. All right? That's all he, you got to talk with someone that relates to them. So that's the way God does with us. He said, that's the sun stood still. That's fine. It says that God repented. Then it says, God, the glory of Israel, not a man that he should repent, or the glory of Israel should lie. Whew, I got so much stuff I can't do it. I wish I had time to give you the only geometric language in the Bible. Let me quote it one time for you, if you don't mind. All good and full gifts are coming down. They are coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no parallax. Parallax. Neither is there a shadow cast by orbital turning. That's the way it really... Now, that is one time they knew that everything was revolving as round. And then there's no parallax. Parallax, you see it on optical instruments, on cameras, it has parallax viewfinder. That means that the real hole that you're taking the picture through, you can't see through it because it's got a shutter. It only flickers for a second, a little bit of light gets in, so you can't see through that. They go up here and they put you another one here that you can look through. Now, if that thing's not calibrated, then you'll cut off the man's head or body, whichever one it is. See? But parallax means that it has been taken into consideration. Distance. And when I look through this one up here, I'm going to get what I'm looking at. Because it has been calibrated out there. How many understand that? In him there is no need to figure or to do any calibration. Hallelujah to God. There is no need to figure for any calibration. You got it built in within you. You have got parallax within you. You know he's the same today as he was 5,000 years ago. All right. Then there is no shadow cast. At certain times of day, there's shadow cast because there is need for variation. There's variation turning. But at noontime, there's no shadow because it's directly overhead. When it says, in him there is no parallax, neither is there a shadow cast. By orbital turning, that means he's always directly overhead. Thank God. You don't have to fear him. He said, now, honestly, I got to try to be like they were back in the 15th century. They had bonnets on, they had big flared skirts. The men run around with steel skirts on, and et cetera. I said, you don't have to figure. Does God like that, or does he like what they liked 20 years ago? What about 30 years ago? Does he like what happened then? No. He's always right overhead. All you got to do is just get right when in here, and you'll find out what he is. I got to go. Thank God.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com. If you would like to find a Spirit-filled church where lives are transformed in your area, I encourage you to email us today at churches@PreachItAudio.com. Let us know the city and state you live in, and we will reply back to you very quickly to direct you to the church in your area where you will receive the strength you need for your life today, and where you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.